The intricate relationship between the United States and Saudi Arabia is under strain these days, but it has lasted for decades. You could say that relationship started with an effort to find a doctor in the Arabian Desert. In 1914, the country's founding king summoned an American missionary to treat sick soldiers. That doctor and other missionaries made such a favorable impression that King Abdulaziz ibn Saud eventually welcomed more Americans, including oil company engineers. His Islamic kingdom was on its way to becoming a critical U.S. ally, a relationship that journalist Thomas W. Lippman recounts in a new book. Lippman found this description of the king by that American doctor who met him in 1914.
He was indeed a notable personality, of commanding height, well over 6 feet, and beautifully yet simply dressed in a long white robe over which he wore a brown cloak heavily embroidered with gold thread. On his head was the regulation kerchief and double rope. His feet were bare, for he had left his sandals at the threshold as we came in. He appeared to be in perfect health, and I guessed his age to be about 35. He impressed me immensely. Every line of him, face and figure, told of intelligence, energy, determination, and reserves of compelling power.
The words of an early visitor to Saudi Arabia's founding king, as recounted by Thomas Lippman in his book Inside the Mirage, America's Fragile Partnership with Saudi Arabia. Mr. Lippman is in our studios here. And, Mr. Lippman, who was Abdulaziz, this man who was at the heart of the U.S.-Saudi relationship at the beginning?
King Abdulaziz was the leading member, sort of the tribal elder, of an Arab tribe from the Arabian Peninsula. And he was living in exile in Kuwait in the early years of the 20th century when he rallied a small group of his followers, invaded Riyadh, which was then a desert village of mud huts, and reestablished the kingdom of the House of Saud in what is now Saudi Arabia.
Abdulaziz was the ruler of a desert kingdom that was not modern in any way. No electricity, no phones, no cars.
It's really hard for us to imagine how underdeveloped the Arabian Peninsula was at the time he established the kingdom. On this vast stretch of territory, that's almost the size of Western Europe, there were virtually no roads, and communication other than face-to-face was almost non-existent.
You write that the way that the United States got an opening into this world was through Christian missionaries.
In Bahrain, which was a British colony, they obtained permission to open a missionary hospital back in the early years of the 20th century.
This is in the Persian Gulf.
Right. And from Bahrain, their mission, their assignment, was to take missionary work through healthcare to as many Arabs of the Persian Gulf region as they could reach, into Kuwait, into southern Iraq, into Bahrain, and down through what is now the United Arab Emirates. Through a long series of remarkable events, they actually obtained permission to go to Saudi Arabia and even to Riyadh, which was then almost totally isolated from the outside world, and minister to the king and many of the people of that region who desperately needed modern health care.
And what did that health care portend for American interests in the region, American oil companies, and on and on?
The missionaries, of course, were not allowed to proselytize or to preach Christianity. But for the first time, the king became aware of a group of people, namely Americans, who were prepared to give without taking, who had no interest in colonizing his country, who were prepared to respect his independence. And when it came time in the early 1930s to award the oil concession, part of his consideration that led him to give it to the Americans rather than the British was the favorable view he had developed through these missionaries and some other early Americans he had met.
How did that change Saudi society, all this money coming out of the ground?
Your question has exactly pinpointed the great quandary of Saudi society then and now. As one of the American consultants over there pointed out, the Saudis understood perfectly well how to manage their lives in a world of austerity, in a world of no material abundance whatsoever. Managing it in a world where people had access to things, to transportation, to different ways of living, was extremely difficult.
When Americans in large numbers began coming into Saudi Arabia and doing business there, how did they deal with the Saudi culture? What approach did they take?
They struck what you might call an informal understanding with King Abdulaziz. The Americans built a town. It didn't have a wall around it, but it might as well have. It was a classic American suburban town with little freestanding houses inside it, and they had tennis courts and swimming pools where women swam with men, just as they would have in Texas, let's say. And Americans made the choice not to attempt to tell the Saudis how to run their country. If some men wanted to have multiple wives, if they were not going to send their females to school, that was their business. And while we might, if asked, give our opinions, we were not missionaries.
So you described this American partnership with this remarkable country that managed to accommodate this money without really changing its basic values. But then you describe it in the subtitle of your book as a fragile partnership. What about this partnership is fragile?
Well, there has always been, from the earliest days, a strong strain of resistance within Saudi society to any kind of external contact whatsoever. They accepted it because the king made them accept it, because they needed the money, because they needed the military protection, as in 1990 after the Iraqi invasion of Kuwait. But they never liked it. Over time, there has developed a very, very large component of Saudi society that's been educated in the United States, has worked closely with Americans, not just for the oil company, but the vast American corporate and industrial and military presence in Saudi Arabia now. Those people, I found when I was there most recently, are a bit on the defensive now, because the other element in Saudi Arabia, the xenophobic element, the anti-Western element, is saying, look what's happened since September 11th. You thought the Americans were your friends. They've turned on you, right? What did you get for being aligned with the Americans? We should not be aligned with the Americans. We should throw them out.
Thomas W. Lippman is the author of Inside the Mirage, America's Fragile Partnership with Saudi Arabia. Thanks very much.
My pleasure.